What up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Pretty Girl Progression Podcast. I am your girl, Sherelle. If you are new here, welcome. I hope you stay. And if you've been here before, girl, welcome back. And as always, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Now, ladies, I have created a free ebook, 10 Tips to Personal Development. I'm talking about everything from doing your personal work to grounding and so much more. But I've also created a 30-day devotional. Why? Because I am extremely big on affirmations. Words are extremely powerful. There is life and death in the tongue. So why not combine 30-day affirmation with biblical verses and give it to you as a resource? So ladies, you can grab this at www.prettygirlprogression.com today, along with all of our merch. This also helps support the channel where we can put on great events for all of our girls. Now, ladies, I have a special guest today. Now, this woman is a prayer warrior, a friend, a fearless leader, my confidant, my sister. Y'all, give a big round of applause to Jaleesa. Hey, sis. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
Amazing. Y'all, I did not know when my sister was going to join us on the podcast. She is literally like my secret sauce in life. And I want to share her with y'all just a little bit, okay? So, sis, I want to start off asking you, what does pretty girl progression mean to you?
Oh, okay. Pretty girl progression is like a lifestyle. Like, it's just who you are. It's either you have it or you don't. And if you don't, we're going to help you get it. So, like, yeah.
That little je ne sais quoi that I like to talk about.
Yes.
Okay, so for the people who don't know you, who are you? How would you describe yourself in a nutshell?
Oh my God, that's a very interesting question. Okay, so my name is Jaleesa. My family calls me Sabrina. I have so many different nicknames, like I can't even name, but like whatever you want to call me by is fine. I'm 29,
mm-hmm.
Born and raised in the county of Dade.
Okay.
Real till I die. what else? I'm a sister. I'm a friend. I'm a daughter. Like, I'm all those things. I'm a girl's girl.
Yes, you are.
I really am.
Yeah.
I am a social worker. So that is what I do for a profession. A lot of people think that, like, I don't work. Like, I travel for a living, and I'm like, no, I work.
Okay.
I'm just always on the go, but yes, I'm a social worker. I don't know. Like, that's just who I am. I'm very family-oriented. Family is really, really big. It's important to me. That is, like, my source. That's where I get my, like, energy from. Yeah. I love my families and friends. Like, if you know me, you know that.
Yeah. So I wanted to start off by saying, you know, I keep talking about my sister as my confidant, and she recently moved away for her career to New Jersey as a social worker. And let me ask you, what was the scariest or most exhilarating thing about making the decision to move?
It actually, like, wasn't scary at all. Like, there was nothing that, like, I felt, like, nervous about. It just, like, something in my heart. And I, like, prayed about it for a long time. Like, I've always had the desire to move away from home.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Miami, like, that's home. But, like, I always had a desire to, like, live out of state. So it just felt like it was something that was just meant to be. And it was going to happen regardless. So I don't really have, like, I never really had any fears about it. Like, I'm okay with, like, starting over. I'm okay with, like, making new friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, like, it didn't affect me in those ways. Of course, I miss my family and friends back home. But it's, like, I can like have you guys visit, or I can go visit. So it really, like, there's nothing that I can say that really, really scared me. I do have time, but I'm okay with like being by myself and being alone. So I was never afraid of that. Like, I wasn't afraid. I was just ready.
Yeah. So what advice would you give a woman, a girl who has never moved out of state? You know, like, you literally went from being at home with us to putting your big girl panties on and like clearing it. Okay. Like, what advice would you give to a woman making that decision for herself to move?
The best advice I would give, and like what I have done, is just like, keep your routine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those things that you like to do, still do them. You just have to like find, you know what I mean? Like, your space in another city. Yeah. Like, for me, you know, like, finding a good church, finding somewhere, like, you know what I mean? Finding somewhere that just feels familiar is what kind of helped me. Finding those restaurants I like to go to, or doing things that I like to do. Like, those type of things help me, like, feel comfortable and not have, like, this, like, homesickness or, like, people have. The best advice I would give is just, like, be ready. Like, you know what I mean? And it's, like, when you change, when you have, like, change, it's nothing but, like, good stuff. Like, that's going to happen for you. You know what I mean? Because you're changing your scenery, you're changing like your environment, and it allows you to like learn so much and gain so much knowledge. And it's just like up. Like, once you do it, it's just up for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, once you can do that, it's like there's nothing else that you can't do in life. I feel like, you know what I mean, once you move to like another city, like, you know, like, I live in Jersey, but like I work in New York. I'm 30 minutes away from New York. So anytime I want to go to the city, it's like right there. And it's like, that's very close to like home. Like, it's not Miami, but you know what I mean? Like, the big city, like a lot of people, like, if that feel is still there. You know what I mean? The people are different. Not gonna lie. The people are very different.
What? Okay. Let me ask you this. Like, what, the fact that you do social work, if you know Jaleesa, you know that her heart is with children, right? But what made you actually decide, I want to be a social worker? And how do you feel like you got into this field?
So essentially, it wasn't anything that I ever wanted. I always go back to like the beginning. So when I was like 21, I'm 29 now. When I was 21, I think I had just graduated with my bachelor's. And I had a bachelor's in psychology, which like you can do anything with that. And I remember, like, when I was in college, like, I was working like a dog. Like, I had three jobs. Like, I was tutoring kids Monday through Friday. I would work with children who had autism doing behavioral therapy. And I worked at a restaurant, like, part-time. Like, I did all of that. And I was in school. You remember, like, that.
I remember.
That time, I, like, was crazy. So, I remember, like, when I graduated, I kind of thought, like, I was just going to land this job. Like, I just need to make $40,000. Like, you know, like... And I kid you not, I probably applied to like 150 jobs. Like, I remember like just going ham, applying to anything. And I'll never forget, exactly a year later, I got a call from DCF and they were like, oh, hi, we want to interview. And I'm like, I never applied to you guys. Like, I never applied to you guys. Like, I know for a fact I didn't do it because I always said like I could never work with like having to take people's children. That would never be my ministry. Like, I seen people go through that and I was like, I would never ever do that. Only job that like hit me back after a year of being graduated, not having any like success. So I took it. I was like, okay. I went to the interview. I got the job and I did like this whole long training, did everything. And I started to do the work and working with like kids within the community. And if you know, I worked in like specifically, I worked in like Miami Gardens, Opa-locka. And if you know, you know. So I started to like build so many like relationships with my families and the kids that I was servicing. And then I remember I had a supervisor at the time. She was amazing. And she told me like, you're literally doing the Lord's work. And then I was like, what? Like when she said that to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, God really set this up for me this way. Like it had to be. I don't remember applying to this job. Like I was just kind of pushed into it, called into it. And then when she said that, like, my interaction with my clients was just even better because I was doing it from a place of, like, God is my source. Like, everything that he's doing, like, he's speaking to me for, like, through these people. Like, yeah. All my decisions that I was making was just coming from him. And so I started to, like, you know, I wanted to be a blessing in these people's lives because I'm here for the most worst part of their life. Wow. You know what I mean? So here I am in their life, emerged, like, into their family for this short period of time. I got to make the best of it, right? So that's what I did. And I remember a year later, like, I was praying so, so hard. Mm. And God spoke to me. God said, you know what? Your ministry in your life is going to be with children.
Oof.
And I'll never forget. I had a prayer wall in my closet.
You did, yes. Yep.
And I wrote on a sticky note that for the rest of my life, I will serve children in any capacity.
Mm.
And from that day forward, God has continued to put me in positions to serve children and see, like, the worst of the worst that they have had, you know, have happened to them and that they've gone through. And, like, I've just been continued in that light. And so I've worked in, like, administrative roles. Now I'm working in the role that's more therapeutic. So a lot of people don't know, like, most social workers become therapists. So that's another thing I never really wanted to do. But it's like, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm providing therapy. Like, you know what I mean? So literally, like, it's just been all God. Like, half of it has been me, but, like, not even half. I would say, like, a little small portion of it has mm-hmm. been me. A lot of it has been God pulling me where he needed me to be. And I think even coming here, I moved to Jersey, but I don't work in Jersey. I work in the Bronx. So, like I work in Manhattan. Our office is in Manhattan, but all my clients are in the Bronx. And if you know the Bronx, that's probably one of the most, like, rural areas in New York City. So it's like, now I'm put, like, God just keeps using me.
Yes. In
this situation. So, like, I don't know, bring light to these people's lives or show them, I don't know. But, you know, now I'm here and it's just like, the only thing that I can always say is, like, it's just been God oriented.
Yeah. I mean, does it get hard having to do extractions? Like, what is that like? So to someone who doesn't know exactly what DCF is and what the day-to-day responsibility is, does it get hard and what does it look like on the day-to-day?
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't clarify that. But so, like, well, in Florida we call it DCF, but it's Child Protective Services.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's where I started out. And yeah, like, you go into these families' lives and you're there to provide services and try to guide them into how to be as safe as possible with their children. In some situations, you do have to remove children out of the home. But it is, like, a lot of people get this impression that that is the only reason they're called into the home, but it's not. A lot of it is literally to provide services and support. But in certain situations, there are moments where there's no space to provide that support. There's no room, or the situation isn't safe for yourself as a worker. It's not safe for the child. Mm. So it's like, it's just not safe. And I do believe that the best place kids can be is with families and with their parents, biological parents.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, like, the public eats people alive. Like, that works for CPS and, like, oh, they're the worst.
Yeah.
But I think that there's more good than bad. It just depends on how you look at it. And I'm not saying that there's not bad or there's not things that happen that are misfortunate, but a lot of it is, like, at least I try to do the good work.
Yeah. So what does it look like? Because at PGP, we're a faith-based community, right? And a lot of the times we talk about hearing God's voice. What does hearing God's voice sound like to you? What does it look like or feel like to you?
It often happens to me, like, when I'm, like, in the shower, because every morning I listen to praise and worship. Okay. Every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Before I listen to any type of music, before I, like, watch any videos, that's top of the line, I'm listening to my gospel music. And it's usually, like, when I'm in the shower or, like, I'm on my way to work, like, that is my, like, praying time. And I feel like that is when I speak to God.
Yeah.
And even in, like, certain situations, like, God's discernment is real.
Yes.
Okay? Like, if you find yourself in a situation, you're like, huh, something don't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it doesn't seem right because that's God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. It's like ongoing for me. Like, me and God, like, that's the big homie. Like, we be, he's there like all the time. It's not, it's like a specific moment, I would say. It's just like, in every situation I see him, in every situation I'm hearing his voice, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Interact with this person. Like, you know, don't make this decision. This might not be the best for you. Yeah. Like, it's constant. It's just ongoing. And it's like, and I think it's that way because I'm constantly seeking
him. Yes.
Like, I'm constantly like, God, what is this? Or God, show me yourself in this situation. So I think it's like a constant thing. I can't say it's like this one specific area. It's just like ongoing.
I always say to my sister, she has this direct connection to God. It'd be like, do, 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 do. When I need prayer, I go to my sister, like, I need you specifically to pray for me. So let me ask you, sis, have you ever questioned God?
Oh, yeah. So I did go through a period of that.
Mm. What did that look like?
That was crazy. And I feel like I felt stupid, like, afterwards.
Ooh.
But I did go through that. Like, right before I moved, I went through that. Because life was just lifing. Like, mm-hmm. when I tell you everything that could have went wrong for me, went wrong.
Mm.
Like, nothing. I had a whole, like, I'm telling you guys, like, this is how you know, like, certain things that happen for you are from God. Mm-hmm. Like, the year before I moved was hard.
Yes, it was.
It was the hardest year.
Yeah.
And, like, and I don't mind getting into details about it, but, like, that was the hardest year I had ever experienced in my life. And I, like, when I made it out of it, it was like, once I got through this, like, I can get through anything.
Yeah.
I can handle anything. But it was a year of, like, darkness.
Mm.
And I was just like, God, like, what is happening right now? You know, like, I wasn't in my word. Like, I wasn't seeking him. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was doing what I wanted to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, like, I'll be on Instagram strolling and I see like a word about, like, you know, like somebody giving their word or talking about God. And I was just like, I want to hear that right now.
Yeah.
I couldn't like listen to gospel music. I didn't want any, like, it was just, I went through like this period of like, I don't want anything to do with God right now.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, like, if it was because I was going through all these things, so I just wasn't hearing his voice, or he was just silent to allow me to go through things so that he can prepare me for where I am today.
Yeah.
So that was my first time in my adulthood. Like, I wouldn't say I turned my back on him, but I was like I just didn't want to deal with
mm-hmm.
him. And that's when I felt the loneliest too.
Yeah. I talked about that the last episode where I felt like I could not hear from God, you know, for a while. I put my Bible down. I wasn't in my word. And honestly, you couldn't tell me that I would feel that way ever because I was so immersed and like, I just was so in love with Jesus that I was like, when I felt like I was walking away or turning my back on God, ooh, I felt like so ashamed. I felt like a disappointment. Like, I know all the goodness God gave me, but then I, because things weren't going how I wanted them to go, I walk away from it. You know what I mean?
So true.
What has been one of your biggest lessons when you decide to trust God? Like, what has been one of those aha moments? Like, ooh, okay.
Like, you know how they say, like, oh my God, you just got to make it. Like, you got to just, like, make it through mm-hmm. like, to the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
That's when I, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, God. But I'll never forget, like, just to go back, I'll never forget, like, when I was on that whole year of spell of, like, just turning my back away from him. Mm-hmm. I got invited to like this 3-day like church thing.
The church revival?
The revival.
Yes.
I went to this church revival and I would never, it's like, and this is from the time where I was just like, God, you turn your back on me. I'm not really messing with you. But I went. Like, I was just like, I went. So I went and I remember praying so hard. Like, I was like on my knees and I was like, God, I will never turn my back on you ever again, because it's like God was just showing me a glimpse of the life that I could have with him, but I just needed to denounce myself to him. Ooh. And give my life to him. And when I did, the biggest weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Mind you, things still wasn't like moving the way I wanted to, but I knew it was going to get better.
Yes.
Whereas to before, I had like no faith. And that's what was wrong with me. I had no faith.
Which is wild.
I remember like, as soon as like I got out of it, like I would pray for faith all the time. Like people don't know, like you could pray all day, you could do everything you want, but if you don't have faith, if you don't have faith that it will happen,
that belief,
like you're going to continue being stressed out, you're going to continue being depressed, like all these things. And I remember praying for faith, and my faith had to be restored so that I can trust
him. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So when you look back on what God has done for you, finish the sentence.
When I look back at what God has done for me, I'm happy. Happy I had to go through it.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I went through like these hard times because it prepared me for things today.
Yes.
And it's going to be preparing me for everything else that's coming my way.
Yes.
So I'm happy that it had to happen. Like, I never have been like, I know all my family says like, oh my God, you always see the best in situations. Like you have to.
Yeah.
You have to. Like if you don't look forward to good things coming, like you're always going to be in this space of depression and stress and anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to live my life like that. So I choose to be happy for the lessons that I had to learn and know that they came from God. Like, you know what I mean? And know where they came from. So
what advice would you give to someone about growing their faith?
Yeah.
Every little thing that you do matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sometimes every little thing that you do matters.
Yeah.
If listening to gospel, if all you have is 10 minutes and you devote that extra 10 minutes, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually your 10 minutes is going to go to an hour. Eventually that hour is going to go to 3 hours. Like it's going to grow.
Yes.
But just start somewhere.
Yes.
Start somewhere. Give yourself to him. You know what I mean? And also, like when it comes to people around you, you should be exploring that with them as well. Like God doesn't place people in your life for the heck of it. Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to have fun and hang out. No, when you bring people into your life, into your space, you should be exposing them to him.
Yeah.
You should be showing them God's glory and God's grace. Like you should be doing these things. So don't ever think that you have to do like this huge thing. Just start small. Like start with worshiping. Listen to one worship song a day. Like if that's where you are, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that don't go to church, but if church is not for you, listen to it online, listen to a sermon. Like you just need to start somewhere. And most importantly, like build your relationship with God, talk to him. That's like any relationship in your life. It won't grow unless you have conversation, get to know them. You know what I mean? So that's really like heavily what you should rely on.
You know what we used to do? So when my sister lived here, you remember how we used to go to Rendezvous? We used to go to Rendezvous on Tuesday. Then we started going to noon prayer on Wednesday. We used to go to church on Sunday. And something about being in the atmosphere, specifically with my sister, like, oh my God, Lord, don't make me cry right now thinking about it. Because I'm obsessed with my sister. I love her. Like, she, although she's my younger sister, even though, Brie, you're my younger sister, you have taught me my greatest life lessons. You have, like, been my greatest teacher. You literally have put the mirror to my face. You have shown me patience. You've shown me what grace in class feels and look like. You have set boundaries that, girl, I might as well call her Jaleesa Sabrina Boundaries Hippolyte, okay? Because, baby, you know?
It's so important.
Yeah, you set some major boundaries. And, like, and I think the obsession with our whole family about you is because you are that light when it's so much chaos going on, when it's so much up and down going on, you know what I mean? So I just want to publicly give you your flowers because you have done the work and you continuously to do the work with grace. So let's just talk about boundaries because my sister, like I said, has set major boundaries and you had to keep reiterating, like, I'm not playing about my boundaries. So let's talk about some boundaries. Like, what's the most important thing? First of all, what made you really set them boundaries? What made you say, y'all got me messed up?
So initially, it was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, like I felt like I was like kind of a people pleaser.
Yes. Yeah. You were.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You were.
I don't.
Past tense.
Yeah, I were. I was. Like, I don't like confrontation. Like, I'm not that type of girl. So I'm just always going to go with the flow. But then I started to realize I was going with the flow and I was leaving situations unhappy. Right? So then I was like, I'll never forget. I remember telling my mom, I'm going to be setting boundaries with you.
Ooh.
And she gave the biggest laugh. She said, like, she thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, she think I'm playing. She really think I'm playing. And she was the first person I set my boundaries with. And if anybody knows Marie Charles.
You know that's hard to set boundaries, okay?
What? My mom is like, me and my mom are so close. Yeah. So,
and just for people who don't know, sorry to cut your wisdom. So me and my sister, we have the same dad, different mom. But shout out to Karen, because Karen raised me and our brothers since we were like, since I was like 5 years old. So she's a whole personality on her own. Yes. Okay?
Yes. Shout out to Mama. Tasty Creation on Instagram. Yes. So everybody knows me and my mom, like, we are super, super, super tight.
Fendi facts.
And she was like the first person I really had to like sit. I'm like, Mom, nope. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. Nope. Not doing it. Nope, nope, nope. And oh, she would make me feel bad. And it was like, oh my God, it was so hard. Like, I used to cry just to say no. Like, you know, just for saying no and feeling bad about it. But I was like, if I don't do it, I'm never going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to, you know, get the things that I want to get in life. I just have to create these boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so I created with them, with creating the boundaries with her first. And then it kind of became easy to do it with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing it with friends. I started doing it with family. And when you create boundaries, it forces you to be very honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it forces you to only speak the truth to people. And so that's what started to happen.
Yeah.
In my truth speaking, you know, you lose friends. You lose, like, people don't really want to mess with you like that. Or they feel like you're being different. Or you're, you know what I mean? You're not the same. But it's like, it's not that I'm not the same. I've just created boundaries so I can preserve myself. Because what's not going to happen is I'm not going to lose me. So in an effort, I'm going to create these boundaries. I'm going to create these spaces. And if I need 2 seconds away from you, I'm going to say it. Like, those things have really, really, really helped me. And I'm glad that, like, and everyone always, especially like my brothers too, like, they're like, I'm so happy you did that. Because if you didn't do it later on in life, you would have been like, sorry.
Yep.
That you didn't do.
I always say that for you. Like, I'm happy that you started creating those boundaries, because honestly, it allowed us to create boundaries too. Like, realize, damn, this is really important.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so, you have to like protect your mind, protect your peace. Like, you have, and even your space, like, you have to protect.
Yeah. I feel like, because that's like the advice that you can give someone, you know, like,
yeah.
I just want you to reiterate, what advice would you give to somebody who is trying to set boundaries, who's a people pleaser?
I would, like, even as hard as crazy as it sounds, I would start with the person who you have the most issues with, like, that the most issues with creating them.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it was my mom. There's nothing that she could say that I wouldn't do. There was nothing.
Yeah.
That's my, like, that was my world. Like, she is my world. Like, you know what I mean? But she can still be that and it still be a healthy relationship.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And if you don't do it, then you can grow resentment and you don't want
that.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I started with the person that I struggled with it the most, like the most, where it's like, and it wasn't a matter of like, oh my God, cut dry. No, like, you got to do it. You do it with love. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't easy. I ain't gonna lie. It wasn't easy for both of us, because she was confused. I was confused. She was confused.
Yo, knowing, like, Karen, no. She's like, hold up.
She was so confused. She was like, huh? Like, no. You're not gonna do what? And I was like, yeah, no. I'm not playing. And so I had to set my foot down, because my mom's personality is so, so, so strong.
She is sad, y'all. And she is a Sagittarius.
My mom's like a strong, like, she is like pitchfork in the ground, like, strong. Like, so I really would advise, like, just do it with the person who you struggle with it the most and practice saying things that you normally don't like doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or things you don't feel comfortable doing anymore, say
yeah.
No. Like, it all starts with that. But then you gotta, like, really stick to it. It's not easy.
Yep. Facts.
And if you're creating these boundaries, like, do it with love. Yeah. Do it with grace.
Yeah.
Because everything, like, is not supposed to be, like, this whole big confrontation. It's not supposed to be this whole big fight. Like, you should not have to be fighting for your freedom or your, you know what I mean, with anybody.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So, it comes with, like, me and my mom has had so many, and even to this day, so many conversations about it. Like, and we still talk about it today. Like, it's a constant
yeah.
thing. It's always evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I have no problem, like, explaining to her, like, oh, no, like, I really don't want to do that because, you know, it's just not working for me right now. And she may not like it, but, like, my mom still, at the end of the day, like, she always respects it. You know what
for
I mean?
Sure,
like,
for sure.
She may not agree at that moment, but she'll, you know, call me back later and be like, you know what? I respect it. And I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
She'll always, and that's what encourages me to, like, continue to be that way.
Yes.
She'll say to me, like, I'm so happy that you are that way. You know what I mean? So, and it feels good to hear that too. From the, like, this is someone that has so hard.
Yeah.
But
I want to ask you,
it's strong.
What part of you do you feel like you sacrificed in order to be you?
That's a loaded question. I don't know. Like, that one's a loaded question. I feel like, in the past, a lot of the time I would sacrifice my happiness for other people's happiness.
You did.
Like, I would always like, oh, let me just worry about the greater good.
The greater good.
Right? And then I would end out in those situations unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is something that I think even still to this day, I'm working on. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still working through those things of like, you know what? I'm not trying to make everybody happy. I just gotta make me happy. I got to focus on what I want. I got to focus on what I need right now. So I would say that's a lot of that is a sacrificial. It's like my happiness
yeah.
sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
go ahead.
And my patience. Because my patience is too good. Like, I know.
No.
It is. Like, you know what I mean?
I wish I could have a sprinkle of your patience because, oh, Jesus.
Girl, like, I feel like sometimes my patience is, like, a little bit, like, overran and kind of, like, you know, especially when you deal with people who know you and it gets taken advantage mm-hmm. of sometimes, you know what I mean? And your niceness
yeah.
and how, you know, how people know how open-hearted you mm-hmm. are. So it's, like, sometimes that can be stuff you have to sacrifice. But other than that, there's nothing major that I can think of
yeah.
outside of, like, sometimes having to sacrifice your happiness for the greater good. In my patience.
Yeah. I'm happy that I used to tell my sis all the time, travel, enjoy your life. You have one life to live. Shoot, I feel like when I told you start traveling, you took that literally. Like, you was gone every month. Like,
yo, I'll never forget that. I would never forget. You told me, you was like, man, you need to travel more. And I remember my mom telling me, oh, you need to travel more. Like, when you travel, your mind expands.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta gain more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally said, bet. And I was like, out. I was like, bet. And I was out.
Yeah.
Like, and still to this day, like, I've been traveling. Sometimes I don't even post everywhere.
You
I
don't.
Go, but, like, people be like, do you work? Like, and I'm like, I work.
Yeah. But everything ain't for everybody, right?
Yeah, so, I just be on the go.
I want to shift gears a little bit because, like I always say, my sister is the classiest, one of the smartest women that I know. I want to talk about dating and, you know, carrying yourself with the class that you do. Like, what do you think that women should... What do you think women should know when they start getting into the dating realm and, you know, just, you know, what's that like for you? What do you think women should know once they start dating?
Okay, that's so good. So for me, you need to focus on yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything about you needs to be aligned. You need to be ready, like all of that, mm-hmm. right? But the biggest thing is be yourself. Like, Be yourself. If you are goofy, be goofy. Like, if you are a romantic, be a romantic. Like, I swear, like, there's somebody out there that's going to appreciate it, yes. You know? And the other side of it is, like, appearance is everything. Appearance is everything.
You got to go in on y'all.
Listen to me, y'all. Girls. Listen up.
Get your notepad and pen ready.
If somebody ever told you it was okay to go anywhere with a bonnet on your head, they are lying. It's not. It's not. If anybody ever told you it wasn't important to get your nails done, they are lying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If somebody ever told you, oh, you don't need to worry about your hair. No, that's a lie. Because you know what? When you look good, you feel
yes,
good.
Yes.
You really feel good. Your confidence is high. You know what I mean? Like, all of, like, it's just, it all goes a part of, like, having that self-love. Mm-hmm. Having self-love. It all intertwines. Like, you should look good. You should smell good. Like, hygiene.
Yep. My video.
I'm not saying you need to wear makeup. Some girls don't like wearing makeup. But you should know, put a little bit of mascara. You should be able to do your, whatever it is. And even if you like a clean face, make sure your skincare routine is on point. But hygiene, take care of yourself, because you know why? You're going to attract other people.
Yep.
It's very simple.
The video I have in the past, I think it's the treat yourself video, and even the red flags video was inspired by my sister, because she always tells me, match your nails, match your toes, match your panties and your bras. Make sure you're getting like your waxes or do your eyebrows and or just go out the house looking like something, you know, because you never know who you're going to meet, especially when you talk about your nails. You'd be like, what if you... You know, you get called out of a group of people to be a hand model for $100,000. And that day, your nails are chipped.
And didn't that happen to us? Did. We were at that video shoot. And what did they said, we need any girl up in here who has nice hands. And what happened?
Yep.
Yeah. They called some, like, you know what I mean? Like, it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you just should be on point at all times, because you don't know what opportunities are coming.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you need to spend all this money. Like, do what works for you, of course. Like, trust me, I'm an affordable girl all day. Like, all my makeup is drugstore. Actually, my sister, I don't really use, like, high-end products. Like, that's not me. But do what works for you. Like, it just needs to be presented.
Yes, for sure.
Like, it acts, like, you know what I mean? Like, ask people, how do I look? Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't be going out giving bare minimum. Like, no, girl, that's not you. Like, and for a lot of the girls that are like trying to date and get out there, it's like, are you really trying? Like, you know what I mean? And are you dressing to attract the type of man you want in the future, or are you dressing for yourself?
Okay, so my sister, I would go on dates, right? Y'all, come in the group chat. Come in the group chat, okay? I would be like, Bree, I'm going to go on this date. And she's like, always, Sherelle, be yourself. Sherelle, be yourself. I'm like, but if I'm myself, date, you know, I got this little Fernando in my head that be going crazy sometimes. And if I'm myself, you know, it might scare someone away. And by all means, I'm a very sane woman. When I just have this like childlike personality a lot of the times, and I'm real goofy. And my sister always said, be yourself. There's someone who's going to love you and appreciate. And I'm glad that you said that, Bree, because now I'm in an incredible relationship and I'm myself. To the T, okay? And my man is obsessed with me, and I just love that for me. So,
I know when I FaceTimed you the other day, and I was like, oh, you must really. Because it's like, you got to be yourself. Like, I don't know how else to say other than, like, you meeting people and you talking about stuff that, like, you don't really do, or you're not this person. And it's like, people start believing. You know what I mean? Like, this is someone that you're trying to date. Like, they'll start believing that. So you have to be intentional. Like, be yourself. Yep. It's less work. Like, when you're yourself, it's less work. Don't worry about, like, oh my God, is my laugh too loud? Like, I laugh in y'all, okay? I get to chuckle in, okay? Don't worry about how you look when you eat, because there's, like, all those little things that you care about and, like, you think are, like, oh my God, no one's going to like it.
There's someone.
Oh, someone's not going to like my weight. Someone not gonna like this, someone not like that. Okay. there is somebody out there that will like you. And when you, those things that you have where like you worry about or worry about being judged about, work on them too. Like, you know what I mean? So that you can feel good. Don't do anything for the next person. Do everything for yourself. Like, do it so that you feel better. You know what I'm saying? So that has been like my motto, and it works, girl. I'm telling you, all my friends, like we be listen, look good, smell good.
Okay.
Appearance is everything.
I'm Sis, you. What's your favorite thing about yourself?
Girl, everything. Everything. Okay. Like, I love me. I have a really good personality. Mm-hmm. Like, I always look good. I smell good. I feel good.
Yeah.
Like, I love having good conversations. Like, all of that. The work that I do, like, all of it. I love it all. Like, there is no one part of me that I'm like, oh, I don't like that part. Like, even girls, sometimes I gain a little bit of weight. My weight be up and down. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I love it. Because guess what? It matters what I
do. Yes. Did you always feel this way about yourself, though?
So I felt like this a large part of my life. I would say when I was like a kid, I used to have like, you know, like I was insecure, like a little insecure girl. Like I remember growing up, like all the kids in school used to call me like Sasquatch because I was so hairy. Everyone's so surprised when I say that. Yes, they used to call me Sasquatch. Like,
I'm glad like you ain't never tell me that because I would have rolled up to that school.
Yes. People like, they, and now in hindsight, they were saying that because I was so pretty, right? But, you know? But yeah, they would like call me Sasquatch. Like, I was super hairy. Like, and it was worse when I was younger because I was like lighter. Yeah, like, there's just, like, those are the things that I used. It was everything about like my beauty, I would say. You know what I mean? Just growing up as a kid. And now, fast forward to today, like you can't tell me. When I walk in a place, I feel like I'm the light. I feel the eyes on me. And you know, like whoever I'm with sees it too. Like, because that when I walk into the room, I command that like space. I am the light. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people are gonna naturally want to speak to me. People are gonna want to. Who is this girl? Like, you know, like that, because that is the way that I care about. And I don't mean to gloat. Like, I'm not trying to be big headed, but
you're
it's
very
just,
humble.
It took
woman.
Work
yeah.
to me too. You get what I'm saying? Like, this ain't happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you walk in a place with your head held high, like, and know that you're that.
So what advice would you give to someone who's struggling with loving themselves?
You gotta, and it's so hard because I know that a lot of people go through it. A lot of people go through it, man. A lot of people go through it, and it's really, really hard. But the only person that's going to save you from this is you. But also, you need to rely on God. Like, at the same time, like, the only person that can save you is
you.
A man is not going to save you. Your parents are not going to save you. No one's going to save you from getting out of that mindset. It has to be you know? And there's literally no excuse. Like, there's no excuse for like you to remain in that place. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Like, why wouldn't you want to be here? I don't care how, if you think you're ugly, if you think that, oh my God, no one likes me, I don't have this, I don't have that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What you do have is a sound mind.
Praise God.
What you do have is a heart for, you know, and a heart to love people. Like, those are the things that
absolutely
matter too. You know what I'm saying? So Start there. Start loving on yourself. Like, love the parts about you that you feel are the worst. Yeah. Like, focus on those things. Like, I know one thing you do, like, Sheree, I was like, you do affirmations. Like, put things on your mirror that remind you of who you are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I know that I'm a pretty girl. I know I'm that girl. But I also know that I'm brave, that I'm a leader, that I'm intelligent. Like, I know how to have a conversation. Like, those things are important, too. And if those are any of your areas, or you can relate in any of those gray areas, like, shine a light there. And everything else will, like, you know.
So true. Man, I've gone through so many different phases with, like, insecurity. And honestly, I feel the most beautiful I've ever felt in life. But growing up, having, like, all these brothers and, you know, I don't know why people used to call me this when I was a jit, but people used to call me crack baby. And mind you, my parents never did crack.
Really?
Girl.
where those people at right now? That's crazy.
I was gonna say where they at, but it ain't know where I'm at. But people would just say like mean things, and I think because I was super skinny, I had big forehead, and they would whisper this behind my back because you know we got a brother who is a stone cold nut who didn't play that. So those are like the little whispers. But honestly, I just started surrounding myself with like healthy people, people who cared about me. And I just stopped caring what people thought, you know, and the things that I could help to change, I did, you know, we're natural women. Like I started getting into my skincare. I started oiling this scalp so my hair can try to grow more. I tried it. Started doing more self-care, being in the sun, praying. Because honestly, when I started praying more, my confidence grew. It's like I knew God loves me. So if God loves me, I don't care what a mother skunk got to say about me, okay? That's just how I started to move. So I felt that. Okay, so earlier you mentioned that God gives you glimpses, right? And for so long, I have been saying, like, God gives me glimpses of what the future is. And I had this profound conversation with my man where he was saying, like, is God giving you glimpses or do you think that's just something that you're basically, like, willing into your life? Like, you want to travel. You want to do these things. So when you say that God gives you glimpses, what does that really mean to you?
For me, it's like being in these, like being actually put in certain spaces that, you know, like, hold on, like naturally, I probably wouldn't be here, but it's like, this is something that I want.
Yeah.
Right. And so here is God, like here, this is what it's going to look like for you, but I need to see you in the situation first. It's like a preview.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, God can't give us everything at once. Right. So it's like, here's this little preview of what life is going to look like for you. And I think he kind of like tests us and see how we behave.
Yeah, if we can like handle it.
Because I can like a lot of like the experiences that I've had where I'm like, how did I get here? I've been with you. And it's like, we look at each other and we're like, yo, this is crazy. Like God literally has so much in store for us. And it's like being in like some of the nicest places around like some of people we you wouldn't even imagine. And it's like, here's God like showing us like, this is what your future will entail. But let me see in this situation. Let me test you and see how you react around, you know what I mean? Around these situations and how you will behave. You know what I mean? And are you going to introduce me in these settings?
Ooh!
I always, always think about that. Like, you're never anywhere just because. Like, you're never around people just because. Like, God is seeing. Are you going to talk about me in this room? Are you going to enter me in this room? I took you here. Are you going to tell them who took
you? My God.
So that's something that I always keep in mind. And I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care who I'm around. I don't care where I work. I'm going to pray.
I turn into an owl. Who not going to talk about the Lord?
I'm going to praise him. I'm going to talk about him because that's my real ministry. That's my real call. That's my real work. Always just give people like, and that's always my prayer too. Like every day, like God, if people don't believe, I hope that when they see me, that people believe, that they know you are real, that they know you exist, even if they don't believe you. But when they see me, like allow them to see you.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I always like, that's always my prayer. And so there's never a situation I'm going to be in where I'm not going to talk
about. That's so good. And that's so true. Like, it's so interesting because when building Pretty Girl Progression, you know this, like God gave me this vision to build a community for women. And I'm not going to say that it's not a burden, but it's a heavy weight on me, you know what I mean? Because I have to, it's a big responsibility. Like even recently, you know, I had something with a coworker of mine, and God really had to check my heart, because Pretty Girl Progression, although it's for all women, I speak to Black women because I'm a Black woman, you know? But God really had to check me and to apologize to this other woman, because I'm giving you this task to not only just minister, but to be the light to these women, to be able to be this, yes, like, almost like the keeper of faith, like to hold strong with other women. And it's a big responsibility, you know what I mean? And I don't take it lightly. It's very hard, but God really is like, I'm trusting you to hear me and show up in these rooms and talk about me, and also humble yourself when you know you're wrong.
Yes, yes.
Apologize. You know, let them know that you're not perfect, but at the same time, you're doing the best that you can. So, like, speak on a time where God really had to check your heart.
Ooh. Girl, you know the situation was...
I know.
Girl. Hold on, wait, let me hit your... Girl.
Girl.
Like, oh, man. So, you know, when you're creating boundaries, everyone's not going to, like, you know, mm-hmm. like it. And the people that are closest to you, they're going to be affected by mm-hmm. it. So I went through a situation where creating these boundaries, but in my creating boundaries, I hurt people.
Yeah, it right? happens.
Yeah. And so I hurt people, and it's like I was in, like, this danger mode. Like, I didn't care. I was like, I don't care if I never have to speak to them again. Mind you, these were people that I was like, grew up with. And I was like, I don't care if we never talk mm-hmm. again. Like, I'm cool. I'm good. But then, you know, life started happening, and I started getting back into the Word of God, and I started coming out of situations that I was in, and I started to see things mm-hmm. different. And it's like, stuff always happens like, weird, you know, like the timing. And so, and I was in a really bad mm-hmm. place, you know, and I wouldn't even, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even call those boundaries setting. I think I was just being, you know what I mean? It just turned into another thing. And so I had to, like, right my wrongs. And the hardest thing I had to do was, like, humble myself and put my pride to the side. And I had to apologize to those women.
That'd be the hardest, don't it? It'd be like...
You know what I've learned is that even though you apologize, they still don't have to accept
that part. That part.
They don't have to forgive you. They don't have to be... they don't have to let bygones be gone, bygones and move forward. It's okay if they still want to mm-hmm. be upset. Like, it's okay if people still don't want to, you know what I mean, engage with you because you hurt them.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, honestly, it is, because that's what you did. And that was... Even though... It may not have been your intention. That was the impact. You know what I mean? So you've got to deal with those consequences that happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is. But that was something that I went through. And it was people that I grew up with. Like, they were like sisters to me. And I went through a really, really tough moment in my life. I was going through a lot in my life. And it caused me to be, like, really mean and shut down. And so, like, even though I apologized, you know, months later, I know that, like, for one, it wasn't even the apology that was important. It was the forgiveness. Yeah. And that was something that I had to work on. I didn't have forgiveness in my heart for a long, 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 long time. Mm-hmm. I had to pray for forgiveness. And then when I had it, it still didn't feel right. So I was like, dang, like, you know, I've forgiven them for what they've done to me, and I've forgiven myself for how I reacted. But now, and I had one of my friends, one of my really, really close friends, say to me, yeah, you've done that part. You did a good job. But there's another side mm-hmm. to it. You still have to reconcile. Mm. And I was like, oh my God. Like, when she said it was like, that's why I haven't been feeling like, because for a long time I forgave, and I've forgiven them, and I forgive myself. But I couldn't, like, bring myself to talk to them or apologize yet. And so she was like, there's something, like, you have to reconcile. Yeah. Like, pray to God for reconciliation because and it was like, I was fighting myself. Like I cried. Like I was like, oh my God, it's not, like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And it's like, when she laid on my heart, God was telling me like, you're supposed to win that. And I didn't do it. I still didn't listen. I was being hard-headed. I didn't listen. I had a dream about it. Still didn't listen. And I was like, this is God like tapping me on the back of the shoulder. Like, hey, I told you to do something. And you still haven't done it. And I remember, I'll never forget one night just kind of being like, gosh, it's like I was in a room by myself. And I remember just God put on my heart again. I said, you know what? I'm going to reach out to these girls. And I reached out to them and I was like, let me open the door to have this conversation and try to make these things right. And so thankfully I was able to make it right with one of them. I'm still working on it. And I'm still working on it with the other one. But it just goes back. Like people are allowed to be nasty. They,
you know what I mean? For sure.
Or being their feelings about it. You know, I've forgiven myself for my part in it. I forgive them. And I'm at a point where it's like, I'm ready to just reconcile and move forward.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, sis. It ain't easy.
It's not.
So it's not. I'm going to bring this to a close. Like, y'all, if you don't have...
Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to talk more.
Y'all, put it in the comment section that you want Jaleesa to come back. I'm definitely going to have her back because there's just so many things that we can definitely tap into when it comes to like the state of the church, minding your business, all the things. But if you could leave the girls with... one piece of advice that you just live by, what would that be?
I always say, like, I don't know, look good, smell good, because when you look and smell good, you feel good. Like, so that's my biggest thing. And be kind to people, be gracious, be patient, be understanding, because it's a lot of people that's just like you, they're trying to figure it out, you know what I mean? So always be open to like others and being understanding. It's really like what people was doing to you in the comments. I ain't too keen to that. So I was just like, yo, like people have no like respect. And I'm not like, I don't like that. Like be respectful to people.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like keep your comments to yourself. If you don't have nothing nice to say, you don't have to say them.
At all.
Keep it cute, keep it quiet. But I don't know. It's a lot that I have to say in closing. But, I don't know. Be yourself. You know what I mean? And as a woman, you're the prize. Okay? The grand finale, the reward, all of that.
Period. I love you, sister. And you guys, drop it in the comment section how you felt about this episode. All the links for Jaleesa will be in the description below. And as always, make sure you grab my free ebook, 10 Tips to Personal Development, as well as my 30-day devotional at www.prettygirlprogression.com. And as always, queen, love yourself. Until next time.
Bye.